Lucy, and she's like, and now she's like, I'm stuck in the prison now. But I'm sure it was similar to that, right? Where she was in a real prison, but it was like, I'm motherfucking Martha Stewart. Like, I'm, you get me, I want, you know, like, she couldn't have eaten regular prison food.
Oh, no, no, she definitely
did. I can't imagine that.
No, no, she had decent food.
I think there are pictures of her in prison on the internet.
Yeah.
Well, let's look those up.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you guys are also interested. I mean, I think, I can't believe that she's, do you know she's 71?
Really?
She looks
good.
She
like
looks
the
really
Dick
good.
The new Dick Clark, she never ages. I mean, well, Dick Clark did after that stroke.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that was a quick decline.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel for the guy. He truly was an icon.
Yeah. And now look. Well, he's dead. Yeah. Sorry.
Martha Stewart. Well, so this is funny, too. When Martha Stewart was indicted, I actually, just as for Halloween, I dressed up as Martha Stewart in prison, and I wore, like, a jumpsuit. And I.
That was the hot outfit that year.
Yeah, well then, Martha Stewart living, decorating small spaces, irresistible recipes with bread and water, and crafts, ideas with silver bracelets. I looked up Martha Stewart in jail, and I'm not seeing real pictures of her.
That blue cell looks.
Oh, that's not real. Martha Stewart prison cell picture. This is a joke. This has got to be a joke.
It was small, it looked more realistic.
Right. Now there's Martha Stewart cooking with her thing. She's a person who she went to jail, and it didn't affect her that much after with her. And I think it actually helped her.
I think it helped her. It totally helped her with her cool status.
Yeah.
It totally did. You know. Usually she's like one of the first people I can remember like getting out of jail and not feeling like shit. She's just like, yeah, I went to jail, but I'm going to continue with my show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I'm going to hang out with some real niggas.
Right. Well, now. And her cookbooks are pretty amazing. I mean, I have a bunch of them, so.
Is that the only person you've ever seen out of prison?
This is not a picture of
Pam?
Is it, what, out of prison?
Is that your only favorite person out of prison?
Yeah, I really don't have any other. Let's see. Maybe Nelson Mandela? He was pretty cool, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pretty cool when he got out of prison.
How dare us not mention him?
Right. Well, and it was, did anybody do anything special for Martin Luther King Day on Monday?
No, I was black.
I worked.
I was black.
I was black, that's all.
Is that what you did for, Martin Luther King Day? You were black?
I was black.
Yeah.
And nothing happened. So that's a good thing. That was a good MLK day.
This is, I found this. Take a tour of America's cushiest prison. Nobody wants to go to prison, but following the recent sentencing of Rajat Gupta for insider trading, we wondered where white-collar criminals would go if they had to. In choosing America's fanciest prison, we considered whether they had high-profile, nonviolent inmates and what kind of amenities they offer. Federal prison camp in Alderson, West Virginia, is our pick. This is the women's prison where Martha Stewart spent 5 months in 2004 and 2005. Other famous inmates have gone there too. They got to enjoy yoga and other luxuries other inmates in other prisons don't have. The 159-acre minimum security prison camp is nestled in the scenic hills near Greenbrier State Forest on the bank of the Greenbrier River. The small town of Alderson, West Virginia, is located east across the river. I want to see more. Here we go. There are all the...
The Greenbrier is where the president goes to play golf, and there's the emergency nuclear bunker under the hotel there.
Wow.
What?
The main entrance to FPC Alderson, it says the Department of Justice, Bureau of Prisons, blah, 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 authorized traffic only. It's actually kind of a pretty little gate. It's really nice. Built in 1928, the prison is actually the first federal prison for women. The prison camp follows a reformatory model in which cottages are built around unfenced grounds. The low-security prison had one famous escapee. And it says, source, Paula Johnson, Inner Lives, Voices of African-American Women.
Oh, that's
in prison.
An ad.
That's an... Ah, I see. Lynette Squeaky Fromm was sentenced to life in prison after her attempt to assassinate President Gerald Ford in 1975. She escaped Alderson in 1987, but was recaptured 2 days later and was ultimately released in 2009. So here, more. I want to know about this cushy prison. Oh, this is nice. Class taught in the 1930s. There's a picture of ladies learning. During her time at Alderson, Fromm had access to a wide range of educational courses, from GED classes to college classes to vocational training. The prison also had a number of recreational classes, yoga, which Martha Stewart reportedly started, fitness, aerobics, cosmetology, and stress relief. There's Martha. Martha was sentenced to 5 months in prison after she was found guilty of insider trading, which everybody does, by the way. She told the Washington Post that her daily interactions with staff and fellow inmates here at Alderson are marked by fair treatment and mutual respect. Fans sent her more than 15,000 emails her first month there. I wrote her an email.
Really?
A typical prison cell at FCP Alderson. It doesn't look that cushy. I mean, it's a bunk and a little area and a... There's a window.
Dusty.
All inmates have access to email at 5 cents per minute, a common area, television room, and library. There's also an electronic library, law library, a hospital, a chapel, and an education building. It doesn't look that cushy. Well, that's pretty. FCP's Alderson's main building. When she wasn't getting fan mail, Stewart did maintenance, including scrubbing floors and cleaning offices. All inmates must hold jobs at the prison unless they have a medical condition which prohibits them. Most inmates get holidays off. In addition, apprenticeship programs are offered for teacher assistants, cooks, electricians, among others. All right. Inmates walking on the grounds within the complex. And when they're not working, they can wander the grounds. Inmates are allowed to exit the buildings after the morning count, but must sign out and specify where they are going, and they have to return to their dorms by 4 p.m. I guess normal prisons, you're not allowed to walk around.
Do whatever.
This sounds like boarding school.
Yeah, it totally does.
There's a picture of a sewing course in the 30s and 40s at Alderson.
Like I'm pretty waspy, and this sounds like my middle school.
Right? Yeah. In the 30s and 40s, sewing was part of the vocational training program, and during that era, the prison had perhaps its most famous inmate. I want it to be Marilyn Monroe. Did she go to that? Billie Holiday!
Yeah.
The jazz singer and songwriter served time in the 1940s for drug possession. What? Okay, so there we go. That was the America's cushiest
heroin prison. By the way, heroin.
It was heroin.
It was heroin.
That's how she could sing so well. We'll do one last Martha thing here. This is their super trailer. I can't believe I haven't seen this yet, and it premiered November 7th.
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't know this existed
until now.
It's on VH1. It's easy to miss.
Well, and I don't have a TV anyway, so.
Welcome.
You too.
You are cordially invited.
A three cheese pizza with spinach and mint and a topping of delectable black truffles. It sounds delightful. So delicious.
Just to clarify, I'm not high right now. But whoever gave us this show, they must have been.
There's like cheerleaders in the background.
Welcome to Martha and Snoop's hot luck dinner party.
Yeah.
I'm going to start throwing dishes unless we get going.
Yeah. Well, let's go then.
You're sexy. You look amazing.
You're raising my temperature.
Give it to him, Martha.
You are definitely hood certified, baby.
I'm excited to be here.
Isn't the weirdest group of people ever on a stage together?
I make fried chicken a wee bit better than Snoop.
Oh, Snoop, look at this.
Oh, wow, look at this.
It's a piece of weave in there.
Martha, let me try that again.
I want to add the truffle topping. It's like a mushroom.
It's like a mushroom. Do it do what mushrooms do? Because if it is, I'm a fan of truffles now.
You can grate the nutmeg.
You want me to break these nuts?
No, I want you to grate them.
Grate these nuts?
Grate.
Oh, grate these nuts?
So there it is. Snoop and Mark. I can't believe I didn't know about that.
Yeah, that was a couple months ago.
I'm lost in Mutiny Radio. I like everything here. I've said it before too. I'm a selfish, horrible person. Like everyone else's lives continue going on, and like there's supposed to be another wedding this Friday, and I'm like, God, I can't.
Oh wow.
I don't really want to go because I've got happy hour. I mean, I guess I can have people sub and be there, but I'm like. yeah, I'd rather just stay at the station. I don't really want to go to the wedding.
What am I going to wear?
Well, and that's the thing. I at this point, I hate weddings. I think they're so pointless and stupid.
I love weddings. The reception is my favorite.
You know, and I just don't even, I don't even care that much. I feel like the reception is so that you can, like, give them a gift. I feel like it's so...
Yeah, for the little cocktail shrimp and shit.
Cocktail shrimp.
And like, open bar. Yeah, man.
And the food's never as good as you'd think it'd want it to be.
Great weddings. Oh, man.
I don't want to go to this wedding this weekend. I just, like... I'd just rather stay here and listen to comedy. Is that awful?
No, not at all.
You know, I got my fraternity brother the best wedding gift.
Yeah.
I got him bed sheets. And I wrote this cute little note in it about never going to bed angry and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, really I sent them because now he'll have to think of me every time he does it with his girl.
Thinks of you every time.
Or when she gets her period.
I've been doing a terrible...
I've ridden the dragon before.
Is that what it's called?
I don't know. That was off the top of my head.
In other words, we call it, you got your red wings.
Oh, that sounds awful.
I learned that in high school.
I haven't had sex in so long. I don't even remember what it's like.
What's that?
That's so funny.
I think my mommy and daddy do it.
The last time I had sex, I was blackout drunk, and that's the only time I've had it in this new year. So in this new year, the only time I've had sex, I don't remember it.
Wow.
Listeners, we don't want you to have blackout drunk
sex. Wasn't my fault.
it was the alcohol fault.
No, I didn't know that the second... was a Monday, and so it was a bank holiday, and so I went to go get food at my favorite bar. I'd had a couple drinks and I was done with Joke Workshop, and I was like, I need to get food. Went to the bar and ordered drinks before we realized the kitchen was closed, and then I had to drink these two IPAs, and it was already after 9 o'clock, and you know, and I hadn't eaten anything, and I had a couple IPAs here at the station during Joke Workshop, and so I think it was only 5 IPAs, but
no food.
But with no food, like, I blacked out.
I once wound up dating a warrior for 3 months because I blacked out, because I forgot to eat all day. We went on this date, and I had 3 11% IPAs.
Yeah.
And I know I walked her home because I have a vague recollection of that, but I don't remember the most of the date. So I texted her the next day. I was like, I'm so sorry if I was a mess last night, blah, 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 blah. Can we have a do-over? And she goes, no, you were fine. Right? And then, you know, the next night, I'm having this conversation where it's like, hey, you know, we've only got like a month, maybe 3 months before I got to skip town. I'm moving to San Francisco. This is when I lived in Brooklyn.
Right.
And she goes, yeah, you told me all that last night. And I was like, oh, so you're down for that. You're cool. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm really embarrassed that I have to be told twice. But, you know, at least we're on the same page.
Right. Wow. That's hilarious.
Kids, don't drink.
Yeah. Well,
or,
and that's the same thing as I feel like, oh, I'm telling the same stories over and over. And
actually, you know, based on how well that relationship went, because it was kind of this mutual fun thing. Drink a lot. Drink tons, because ever since then I've just had no good luck.
Well, and there's a thing that happens with, I thought you meant you're like, you had a relationship for 3 months and you didn't remember it, but people who used to take Ambien, which is like a forced blackout, which is like drinking too much, you just don't create memories. There have been people who've had total relationships on Ambien, and they don't understand. In the morning, he's a big jerk, and she's like, last night, we named all of our children. Like, we were talking about babies and getting married. And he's like, you're an insane person, and like would accuse her of being absolutely crazy. And she's like, didn't realize until way later that it was the Ambien.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't fuck with Ambien, and I've been blacked out, but, you know, whatever. It happens. Just don't be sloppy about it, that's all.
Yeah. I can't tell if I'm being sloppy, which is the bummer.
I hope I'm not being sloppy, because I've had to do that apologizing the next day, too. Like, I am so sorry if this date went And they're like, oh, no, you said we were talking politics and you're into it, but everything else was fine, because that's my go-to when, I guess, when I get blackout.
You talk about politics?
I totally get on my soapbox, and I start talking politics, which is why, I don't know, but it's like, that's the one thing I start talking about, and I go on a rant, and I've heard this from many, many, many of my friends, so that's when people know, like, oh, funny. She's gone. Put her to bed.
Yeah.
Maybe it just turns me on. I don't know.
I have an issue now with, it was with drinking too, but smoking weed and getting horny. Like every time I smoke, I'm like, God, I am horny. But I'm too, you know, lacking motivation to get off the couch and do anything about it.
It's too, because everything's so far.
Yeah.
The phone's too hard to operate.
Is that all you got to do? You just got to get that text out there and the babies just come a-flocking.
Send that text.
So we're going to listen to a little Snoop Dogg here. This is Smoke Weed Every Day, Every Day.
Fucking Eagle Double G.
Snoop Dogg.
You know I'm mobbing with the D-R-E.
Yeah. You know who's back up in this motherfucker.
Motherfucker.
So blaze the weed up then. Blaze that shit up, nigga. Yeah. Stop, Snoop.
Top dog. Light them all. Nigga burn his shit up. DPGC, my nigga, turn that shit up. CPT, LBC, yeah, we hooking back up. And when they bang this in the club, baby, you got to get up. Thug niggas, drug dealers, yeah, they giving it up. Low life, yo life, boy, we living it up. Taking chances while we dancing in the party for sure. Slipped my hoe with 44 when she got in the back door. Bitches looking at me strange, but you know I don't care. Step up in this motherfucker just to swing in my hair. Bitch, quit talking, quit walk if you down with the sick. Take a bullet with some dick and take this dope on this jet. Out of town, put it down for the father of rap. And if your ass get cracked, bitch, shut your trap. Come back, get back, that's the part of success. If you believe in the ass, you'll be relieving the stress.
It's the motherfucking D-R-E.
Dr. Dre, motherfucker.
I'm mobbing with the D-O-double-G. Straight off the fucking streets of CBT. King up the beach, you ride to him in your fleet. Whoop, the field rolling on dubs. How you feel? Whoop-de-whoop, nigga, what? Praying Snoop Chronic down in the lag. With Doc in the back, sipping on yak. Clipping the strap, dipping through hoods. Compton, Long Beach, Inglewood. Stop Central, out to the west side. This California love, this California bug. Got a nigga gang of pub. I'm on one, I might bell up in the Century Club. With my jeans on, and my team strong. Get my drink on, and my smoke on. Then go home with something to poke on.
What's up, bitch?
Locust on for the 2-0-0. Coming real, it's the next episode.
Hold up. Hey, for my niggas who be thinking we soft, we don't play. We gon' rock it till the wheels fall off. Hold up. Hey, for my niggas who be acting too bold. Take a seat. Hope you're ready for the next episode. Hey. Smoke weed every day.
Christmas is special. It's the last hurrah of the season before we all go on diets.
Speak for yourself, Martha. The only diet I go on is a gin and juice cleanse.
As you can see, we're really getting into the holiday spirit here. And over here, I'm especially proud of this festive gingerbread house.
I love gingerbread houses.
Ooh. What the heck? Did you touch my gingerbread house?
Yes. But I made some renovations. It's the holidays, and we should think about the gingerbread people who have fallen on hard times. Maybe their neighborhood went south and bad cookies parked right on the front lawn. Maybe their kids got bullied by other gingerbread kids who threw their Snickers up on the power lines.
and their electricity got turned off. So they had to run a long licorice cord from the house to next door.
Well, I really feel like the property value of my gingerbread house is going down and down and down.
That's what I'm talking about, Martha. They had to put candy bars on the windows to keep out the riffraff. So there you have it, Martha. Just round the way Willie wants.
I think I need a drink now.
I'm right behind you.
Wow. And that's an example of Martha and Snoop Dogg together. They're acting. That's awful. Their scripting is really bad.
Yep.
And I'm wondering where their teleprompters were for that little thing. They've got carolers on the set.
But at least they're committing to the bit, right?
They're committing to the bit. Absolutely.
To the corniness.
Yes.
Commit to your corniness.
Oh, God. Well, Martha and Snoop's, you guys can find it. So are they selling out or buying in?
I think both. I honestly think both.
Because
their names are already, you already know them by names. Everybody knows them. It's the fact of, like, they're crossing different demographics people, and I think that part is cool.
They know their brands, and they know they're a product at this point, so they just got to relabel and market the product.
Well, and they're calling it the potluck dinner party. This is basically Martha Stewart saying, I'm okay with weed. I'm a cool old lady. Here's another one. This is
she probably knows
her
how to bake
Snoop.
It's
about trees.
We still have stockings. We hung them by the door. Where we can hang them at?
No, we had a big tree, and one year I covered my tree in blue angel hair. It looked so stupid. It was the worst decoration I ever did.
She's so high right now.
Because I like white trees.
Oh no, I think I have about 25 trees in my house at Christmas time.
I like the white ones.
I have gold trees, white trees. I have a pink tree. I have a tinsel tree. I have a turkey feather tree.
Oh, man. I'm coming over.
Yeah.
What you worry about today?
So many trees. Every room has at least two or three trees in it.
Well, I have a lot of trees.
Even the DJ's laughing.
I have a lot of trees at my house in different
rooms as well, Mark. I have trees upstairs, downstairs, in my man cave. There are trees everywhere.
Do you have a man cave?
Trees under the seat, trees in the trunk.
I guess I would be considered a botanist, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Arborist.
An arborist?
Yes.
Arborist with a little botany in it.
Okay. So,
Pam, I suggest you, when you have nothing else to do, or the next time you're sick, just binge watch.
Oh, I'm going to binge watch them. I won't make us watch it anymore. I just think it's crazy that... What's happening in the world that this is possible?
I think
it's become socially acceptable.
Yeah, I think it's
awesome. That weed is fine, and we're all like on board with it.
Yep.
And that's why Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart can have a show together called Potluck Dinner Party. Thank God. Thank God for America, right?
See, that's the cool part about America.
About America.
Yeah. I mean, the fact of the matter, you're getting these two people who would never step foot in either each other's world, but you have them doing this. You know, I think that shit's dope as hell. I really do.
I think
the show's corny, but
yeah it's super corny.
Well,
corny.
I mean, they have to make it safe for the Midwest, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm from there. We don't have to play. We don't always like things too safe.
I was watching a documentary the other night on Netflix. Because, you know. And,
which one?
I think this one was called Stevie.
Stevie.
Or Steven or Stevie. It's about this guy who...
I watched this too. He goes back to the kid he was a foster kid for.
Yes.
He was a big brother, big brothers and sisters.
Yes. And the kid wound up having a miserable life after he left.
Right. Yeah.
And then he turned out to... Well, I won't go.
It's okay. He doesn't spoil it too much. He kind of becomes a child molester.
Yeah, he, became
Stevie.
Okay. Stevie or Steven, one of those, or something like that.
Yeah, he has a retarded girlfriend.
Yeah, mentally handicapped. Yeah.
Right. I was a special ed teacher for 4 years, so I get to throw the word retarded around. It's fair.
I don't. So.
I was married to a black guy, but I still don't use the N word. Even though 13 years,
dude,
still can't
I
do it.
I think your hat is retarded, and that means cool. Oh. It used to.
Right. Well, and but
like
I mean
minute.
It like.
Yeah.
I mean it
I
like actually
retarded,
like
there.
Yeah. We have to retard your behavior right now.
But go ahead, continue.
Yeah, the
story. I forgot the point of that one.
Yeah.
I had a point.
That he didn't smoke enough weed.
Well, actually, he did smoke a lot of weed in that movie, but I only made it about halfway in, but there was something very interesting about it related to the last thing we were talking about, but I'm so high, I can't remember what that was.
So, child molester.
Weird is things happening in... Well, I watching the... We can Sherlock this train. We can find that thought.
I don't know if it was a good enough thought to continue down that track.
Well, the Stevie thing isn't... Well, and it'll bring me to this. Netflix is shaping all of our worlds. I mean... I watched one last week and I cried and cried. It was awful. It was great, but it was terrible. It's this one about the girls who get raped, and then they're even videotaped and they show pictures around, and then the guys just totally get off. This
Ew.
Marysville case, this poor girl Daisy, and this one girl killed herself. These guys, she went to a party and she got super wasted and she went upstairs. Somebody carried her upstairs, and then they got markers and they drew all over her like slut bag and you know whatever, like, you know, insert here. But then a guy actually fucked her with the pen and left it in there, and they took pictures and they like painted half her face in Sharpie or whatever, and all the pictures got around the school, and they show up in the Facebooks before she kills herself, where they're like, she's like, my reputation will never be the same. Everybody thinks I'm a slut, which is all this stuff. And then she kills herself. And so those two guys, the movie was like being made as a real documentary, and they're in it, even though they cartoonize them, because it was part of the thing. The parents did a civil suit after, and they're like, we don't want your money. We want you to apologize and to never let this happen again to, like, you know, girls and stuff. And it makes me think about Trump's America, because this is a 17-year-old guy where they all thought it was okay to get a drunk 14-year-old girl, super drunk, and then rape her. And the whole thing was like, well, she didn't say no.
Oh my!
She couldn't
God.
Not. And the policeman in that, and it gets thrown out of court and everything, and you hear the policeman, and he's talking on the video, and he's like, well, it's a tricky thing because, you know, she didn't not give consent. Consent wasn't even a thing. It was like, but they blamed the girl, and they ended up having to move towns because it became this big thing once the guys got off, and they're like, she's a liar, she's a slut and a liar. But there were people that had video of it. The whole town was against her because these were like the football guys. And it's really sad though, and that's what's going to happen in Trump's America. We've already had a problem with the subjugation of women. We know that rape is a political and a power statement, and that poor girl was raped, and then the guys got off. So what does that teach them? That you can get away with it, A, if you have enough money or enough power, and B, you can do that to women anyways. I mean, we can just grab women by the pussy now. It's not a problem.
She's
passed out. Well, that's her problem.
We have a bunch of Brock Turners that are walking around. I mean,
yeah.
That, you know, 6 months ain't shit, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's
released from jail after 3 months.
Oh, excuse me. You're right. 3 months.
Yeah, released from jail.
It's just six. He only served
right.
three.
The Stanford's university swimmer bowed his head as he rushed past a bunch of.
That's the kind of society, the sick, disgusting society that we live in.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, these are mothers and daughters and sisters and aunts. These are, you know, women are people who give birth and life, and this is how we're treated. You know,
well, it just, I mean,
justice for our bodies,
right? Right, or that
property,
exactly. And that's the thing that's terrible, is that when people feel that they can overpower you, or I really think the drunk thing, it's a 14-year-old girl cannot, the blame cannot be put on her because she's drunk,
absolutely not.
She's experimenting, there's things happen. I mean, how much can you? I mean, God, I didn't drink when I was 14, but if you have like. You know,
but that's the
a couple
that's
a
classic,
sips.
That's the classic excuse for a lot of like, you know, a lot of the court cases use for the fact of, well, she was intoxicated. That is the classic excuse. Just because she was intoxicated does not give anyone the right to be violated.
Right.
No. Point blank. Just, or what she was wearing. That's
right, right,
these
right,
are all
right,
the
right,
classic
right.
cases of, well, she was ... something. Right. You know.
She asked for it. Armed protesters outside the house of Brock Turner's parents. Castrate rapists. Do you guys think we should castrate rapists?
Yes.
That was another movie that I saw on the Netflix. It shapes everything. It was a movie with...
Hard candy?
Yes.
Oh,
hard
God.
Candy.
I have a story about
hard
that.
Hard candy. Tell us. Hard
okay.
First, give a little synopsis so people know what it's about.
So the movie Hard Candy stars Ellen Page and that guy who's in every, like,
the
horror movie
hair.
Now. What yeah. is that guy's name? I have no idea.
Know.
He shows up in, like, all the Amityville stuff and all that. Yeah, he's just that guy, and you're always like, oh, it's that guy.
With the glasses.
He's
yeah.
that guy.
Well, anyway, you know how he looks like, you know, a little bit like a pedo. Well, that's his character in this movie, is a pedophile who's trying to lure Ellen Page to his house to take advantage of her. But lo and behold, Ellen Page is actually the predator.
Yes.
Because she has a plan to castrate him. And so I'm watching this movie, and I've seen this movie before. I saw it when I was when it first came out, and I was in college.
Awesome.
Oh wow!
And it got to that scene, but I was watching it with this girl I was trying to impress.
Oh!
So we're sitting on my couch, right,
snuggling.
Watching this movie, and the thing is,
oh.
I studied film. I know how this whole shot's composed and everything that's going on, and I still, for some odd reason, had this. Body reaction, it was probably because I did a whole bunch of edibles beforehand,
right.
where I reacted like it was actually happening,
oh.
and I went into shock and fainted and passed out and came to in a pool of my own sweat going, what happened? And she's just looking at me, and I was like, yeah, if you want to go, that's cool.
Wow. Wow.
And she went.
And she went.
She left.
She left.
Oh,
because you passed out. That's
well, no, and I give it to her. I was like, yeah, I wouldn't stick around for that either. You know.
There was no ass.
No.
Because of watching Hard Candy.
No.
Not
there shouldn't be.
No,
I know. If you would have gotten to the end of that, the end of that movie, I mean, how do you even?
Yeah. How do you transition?
How
that
do you transition
to a
sexy time?
I'm sorry. I laughed and I thought of Lorena Bobbitt.
Yeah.
And I was just like. And I kind of cheered because I was just like, I was one of those people. Thank God I watched it at home. But I was just like, that's what you get, you fucking rapist. I just had this moment of relief. Like, yeah, that's what you.
Well, and once you find out that he was really implicated in the thing
yeah.
that she was accusing him of, I was like, yeah, yeah, kill that guy.
Yeah, it was
chop that dude.
But
it was
interesting in a storyteller perspective
yes,
where
yes.
you when you believe him and don't believe, and when you think she's crazy,
ambiguous.
It was very ambiguous,
yeah.
and they keep switching sides where you feel for him,
you feel for him,
and then you don't, and
yeah.
and that all happens. This is very sad. What Brock Turner's father said, and this makes me angry. Let me do a poor. His life will never be the one he dreamed about and worked so hard to achieve. Dan A. Turner wrote a letter arguing that his son should receive probation, not jail time. That is a steep price to pay for 20 minutes of action out of his 20 plus years of life. Action?
I hate that.
You are the reason that he raped her. The father should be the one that should go to jail. Because if you are calling rape action as if it's a sexual, like it's just another sexual conquest for your son, because that's where his self-worth comes from, is being a strong athlete
and who
fucking
said it was
girls,
20 minutes?
So I mean... It's,
who said it was 20 minutes?
He will never be his happy-go-lucky self again with an easygoing personality and a welcoming smile. Oh,
yeah,
because he's a registered sex offender
he's
now.
He's a rapist
wow.
now.
Wow.
Yeah, he moved back to Ohio. I believe that's where his family's from. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is just like, so now he has a scarlet letter. Boo.
Good for it. You're not. That's what you get when you rape people. When you rape people or when you kill people. That's what happens. We tell you.
He needs to get more jail time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He needs to get raped in prison. You know what? That's
fitting punishment for the crime.
Exactly. You know, I should.
Oh, you mean you're not a person? You mean your body was taken from you by someone without your permission? Oh my gosh. And that's so awful for you?
That's why he got the short release. I bet you he was getting ass threats. in prison.
I hope so.
They probably were like, so you like to rape women, huh? You know, because a lot of, from what I hear, this is jail talk. From what I hear, a lot of inmates don't like women beaters and rapists. So those are those are the guys that they usually go after.
And kid touchers.
Yeah. And oh yeah, and petties. Yeah. They don't like petties. Oh, you've heard this jail talk before too.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So they would probably try to get up into some brock and they're like,
oh, here we go. I put it in. I put it into our Google and I've said prisoners don't like, and the first thing that came up was child killers. Mm.
High five.
Prisoners don't
like. Gay society.
Okay. So yeah, prisoners don't like child killers. Ex-con reveals exactly what happened to child abusers in jail. Ooh.
Now we're turning to the inmate page.
Yeah, pretty dark. Ex-cons reveal exactly what happens to child abusers in prison. Popular culture and TV and movies tell us, often with glee, that child abusers and rapists have a pretty hard time in prison. But by hard time, I mean they have to be protected and segregated from general population by prison staff to avoid pretty serious physical abuse and attacks from other inmates. The story goes that prisoners' code say they have to group hate all sex offenders and attack them when possible. But just how true is that in real life? A Reddit user called Goodnight Spoon.
Good night, Spoon.
Asked that question and got some revealing answers and stories from ex-cons. User Dusted Nuggets gave a pretty harrowing account.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's great.
We're trying to get serious.
Dusted Nuggets and Good Night, Spoon. Pretty harrowing account of his experience in a high-security prison and a pretty nasty beating he witnessed. I was just in a high security felony wing of jail waiting for extradition to another state, not in prison at the time. Well, the few that came in were told to go to SEG or get their fucking heads busted every day till they did. The one dude came in and refused to leave, was yelled at, spit on, and threatened until everyone had enough. Three dudes ran up in his cell and threw him the most vicious beating you can imagine. I remember him crawling out of his cell and the dude pulling him back in for more, and I could hear the bones breaking from 20 feet away. He died on the way to the hospital. Ooh. That all guys that took part were there on murder beefs anyway, so the extra 5 years they got to them, it was worth it. This was an extreme case as the jail was overpopulated and they tried to sneak in the chromos in Gen Pop because SEG was full. Everywhere else I was incarcerated, they keep the touchers far away from us. Duster Nuggets. I want to hear another good Reddit name. I guess the reason that sex offenders are targeted would be that people think about their brothers or sisters, or
or I think a lot of, you know, some of those criminals probably had been molested as well.
Yeah.
You know, childhood trauma.
Right, right.
And that's why sometimes people end up the way they do because of childhood trauma that they experience. So that's why they probably don't like child abusers, nor do they like petties.
Right.
It would totally make sense.
Absolutely. Or as the English say, pedophiles. Fatman 832 tells a story about one prison guard.
Yes.
I love the name Reddit names. That's brilliant.
This is fun.
About one prison guard, a typical shaven-headed mofo, actually instigated and informed the prisoners about a child molester who had kidnapped two children and left them to die in the trunk of his car.
Christ.
Yeah, that's terrible. He passed around a newspaper cutting to all the gang leaders in the prison.
Oh, shit.
Open on the page about the abuser and let them get on with it. He got attacked by more than 55 prisoners.
Damn.
Wow. Don't touch kids.
Let's see. Don't rape. God damn.
Yeah, well, and you got to wonder, like, rape is a, you know, it's a like a sub, it's denying a person's humanity, you know, and to somehow be sexually gratified, like, in that, like, when you know that you're hurting somebody, like,
that's,
you know,
disturbing as
fuck. And it's, but it's like what makes that, what, and why would it be like the rapists I've been thinking about in the past week? You've got your college swim boy and you've got 17-year-old boys, like, football players.
And you probably got Donald Trump's cabinet.
Donald Trump's cabinet. Well, they're definitely raping all. They're gonna rape our economy and our environment. I'm very scared about
and
the raping
humanity.
And pillaging they're gonna be doing. Well, we're not humans anymore. We're consumers. Just consume. That's what makes us Americans. It's where we spend our dollars and how we spend our money. That's the only real power we have anymore.
Yep.
Which is sad. I mean, I'd like to think that, you know, creating art and, you know,
but
a society where people get along and feel fulfilled and, you know.
But why do you, what, you were about to say something about rapists.
Oh, I'm wondering what it make, and what the connection here is between, like, I mean, I guess you would call them middle class. They're like the jock kids, like all American high school guys. And the ideas and the ideas they have about women. And it's like, how is this being? Well, I mean, I see it in the mainstream media and I see how women are treated and subjugated and this and that. But it's like, rape? Like, what boy? You're a guy. Would you ever have the day like, yeah, she's drunk. Let's take her in the room and fuck her.
No.
Like,
yeah, let's
no,
play
I know. It's
accused.
Terrible.
No, I've had more than a few occasions where a date has ended where she's passed out and I have to drag her home and put her in her bed and make sure she is okay.
Right.
And, you know, at no point am I like, you know what? The drool coming out of her mouth, that gets me going. I'm ready, and, you know, she wants it.
That even goes to the whole Bill Cosby question. Is
oh, Christ.
He could have any woman awake, but why would he want them to be
It's all about power and dominance, and, you know, it never has to do with sex. It's always about controlling another person, at least through what I've heard in all the
definitely
great
power.
So then you got to think of it this way. Do 17-year-old boys on a football team feel so powerless that they are now going to rape little girls?
I'm gonna say something controversial, and I'm going to say something moronic, because this is just out of left field to put it out there for a topic discussion, but I blame abstinence-only education.
Interesting.
Because now
Thank
you're
you.
Saying that women are something you can't have. They're a trophy, you know, back to the sports
right,
thing.
Right, right,
they're
right.
a trophy that you can't get.
Right.
Right? Because, you know, it's her fault, because she can get pregnant, because, you know, it's her fault that you can't fuck her. Now, go be angry in 17 about that, and then add alcohol and drugs to the mix and see what happens.
Right. Okay, you know what? And I don't think it's that controversial. I'm actually kind of on board with you.
I totally agree with that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because then if you could teach kids about, I mean, if you could actually talk to 14-year-old girls and be like, hey, can you not, just don't get drunk, because they are going to take advantage of you, and it's very sad, but just take care of yourself and let that not happen. But also, let's talk about, like, sexuality. You're 14. Maybe you don't want to have it yet, you know? And I think that so much of my sexuality was formed around what I think men might want, because I wanted men to want me. I wanted guys to like me.
Right.
But I knew that if they didn't like me, they might like me because I give them something sexually.
Mm. And then they love
And then they like
you more.
Then they like me more.
Right.
But they never liked me to begin with.
And that's where it starts, I think, with, like,
self-esteem.
Young woman, yes. Like, oh, self-esteem. Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to like me, so I sucked his dick.
Right. And that's a discussion that I think a lot of us women and younger girls don't have, because at that age, the self-esteem and the adolescence is so vulnerable.
Yeah.
And you're trying to please everybody at this point.
Right.
You know, boy, you know, well, our crazy boys, or, you know, parents or teachers or friends, or trying to make friends, you know, you have all these things going in your head, and your self-esteem is just like, I have never met a 14-year-old girl that's had the highest self-esteem.
And you're still a child. You're in a weird,
you're at that awkward,
like a freshman in high school, and you are sort of in this adultish world.
But you're starting to like things, and you're starting to feel things, and you're starting to want to, you know, do things and try for the first time.
And you're
curious.
Also so innocent in that you don't necessarily, like, okay, so this girl, Daisy, like, yes, she was drinking upstairs with her friend. They're both 14-year-olds. One of them was 8th grade. The other one was a freshman, and they're drinking. They're trying for the first time. And one of these drunk guys texts this 14-year-old and says, hey, come over. We've got some friends over. And she's thinking, and she told the camera, they said, well, what were you thinking? And she said, I was thinking that a 17-year-old football player who was a friend of my brother's, wanted to hang out with me,
yeah,
and I thought it was cool.
Exactly.
And I thought it was, and then when she got there, they were drinking or whatever, and she was like, I have 3 year old little brothers. So they kind of made this thing about like this bitch cup that no one could finish it and the guys couldn't even. So she's like, she drank this huge thing of alcohol because she was trying to prove to them that she was, and then she passed out and then they raped her.
Yeah.
And then they filmed it and then they laughed about it and then they showed it around school and then. But it's but 14-year-old girls do dumb shit because they want boys to like them. I feel when I was watching that, we get back to the Netflix now, it shapes my life. I honestly feel like I would have done the same thing. When I was 14, I dated a guy who was a senior in college. And luckily, he was a good, upstanding dude. Russ Orvick, all power to you. You got great kids now. Lovely wife, Jennifer. Great people. But, I mean, I was 14. People used to say, like, why would a 17-year-old guy or 18-year-old guy want to hang out with a 14-year-old? And I was like, well, I'm a really cool chick. But, like, now I look back and I'm thinking, I mean, I would have done anything because he was a senior and I was a freshman and I was like, tell me how the world works, sensei.
Right. Exactly.
You know, like...
Yeah. I mean, I've been in the shoes of, like, being, like, being called over to, like, hey, we're all hanging out after school here, and some uncomfortable situations had happened where it was the point, I'm the kind of person that I'll just hit somebody, you know, but, you know, and it's in just you talking about that, the story of Daisy, kind of, like, I kind of see it, and it's really sad, and, you know... It doesn't change as you get older. You know, we all do stupid shit at 14, 24, 34, 44, 54. It goes on. We all do stupid shit. But does that give anyone the right to violate a person or do anything to harm another person because of that stupidity? That is not harming anybody, but no, I'm not even going to say stupidity. It's just being irresponsible, you know. I mean, I guess as you get older, you're supposed to get, you know, be more responsible, but we all fall off the train once in a while. And those 17-year-old boys who are on that football team who got away with this, I'm just afraid of how they're going to turn out to be as adults. Now, those are the monsters that I'm really afraid of, because they know that they can keep going on, you know, keep this going as long as they can, because they got away with it for the first time.
Right.
I'm Teflon now.
Right. Well, these guys, I mean, it's...
And there's a lot of cases like this that go on that are, you know, that aren't on the news or what have you.
Yep.
This is someone right now. This is happening to someone right now.
Right. And it was
conversation.
This crazy documentary, I think it started in, the Marysville thing or whatever, the rape was in 2012, and it just came out in 2015 or 2016. So she's like... It started when she was 14, and now she just graduated from high school. They show that at the end of the thing. And at the end, all these other girls get together, and they're all talking about how their stories are so similar and how the guys got off and nobody listened to their story and how they think they were ostracized at school and Facebook was terrible. And, I mean, it is a brave new world for high schoolers out there. I have no idea how they ignore... Like, if Facebook existed when I was in high school, I would have killed myself. I mean, I'm sure I would be dead.
Yep.
I mean, because I did stupid shit in
it
high school.
Be mean
like
and vicious.
People are so vicious.
Oh, yeah.
And we're just comedians. But, like, I can't even imagine how vicious high school students would be to each other.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean,
the gossip and the...
They know how to cut right to the ego.
I know. Yeah. It's like it takes the fun out of being sometimes me.
Yeah,
right.
Because, I mean, I was bullied a little bit, you know, in high school, but I turned out to be awesome. But just hearing the things that people would say to you in high school, 10 times that now on Facebook, where people will videotape you to humiliate you.
Yeah.
Oh, and the boss pile that happens.
Yeah. It's just like, whoa.
Because it starts with the posting of the video or the comment or whatever, but then it's the dog pile of everyone replying saying, you're a piece
storm.
Of shit.
Yeah. You know? And the thing is, adults do it as well.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The difference, and I feel like some adults know how to pull away, but... I see a lot of adults get into that cattiness of the shit pile, and I'm just like, I refuse.
It's happened on my page before. That whole Jermaine thing that happened there for a while,
that.
Calling me a racist and just dragging me all over Facebook. I just ignored it all because I'm like, clearly I'm not a racist. But
juvenile.
Yeah, but the problem is that when somebody's being juvenile like that, your response is like, oh, I'm gonna say this, but then it makes you somehow they always get off, and then I end up looking worse. Like whenever I try to retaliate because something happens, like I get poked.
Sure.
You know, and I'm like, oh, you poked the bear.
Yeah.
And then I look like an asshole.
Right.
Yeah,
you know?
Because you can't say, I'd rather, when people try to lure me into that bullshit, that juvenile teenage stuff, I'm like, wait till we see each other in person. Wait, I just can't wait. I have a hard on for it. And when I see that person see them in person, it's a completely different story until I say something and I mention it.
Sure.
Because when you post things and you say things via text or Facebook, social media, it doesn't make, you don't get the face and the aggression compared to the words that you're saying to the other person. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Well, it's a safe way to express displeasure from a distance. And without responsibility.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's just like, oh, it's just Facebook.
I think sometimes less said is better sometimes. Wait, it's always like, wait till I see you in person.
Yeah. Oh, I just tried never to see them again. Every 98 seconds, an American is sexually assaulted. That's just America. And that's a minute and 38 seconds.
Yeah, so someone, after we were just discussing, that was someone right now.
On the average, there are 321,500 victims age 12 or older of rape and sexual assault each year in the United States. Wow. That's one out of every six American women has been the victim of an attempted or completed rape in her lifetime. Wow. I got saved at a frat party once because I was super, super drunk and a guy brought me upstairs and was trying to like take off my clothes and another frat boy guy ran upstairs and his last name was McCune and I don't remember his first name, but he got that guy off me and he was like, what the fuck were you gonna do?
Yeah.
And he was like, I was gonna have sex with her. And I was like, you saved me. I'm getting raped. It was really nice.
See, my frat house, we were a safe space. It was, you know.
Oh, that's so nice.
Well, this was before, quote unquote, safe spaces became a buzzword. This was, you know, back in 2002, 2006, you know. But,
wow.
You know, everyone liked to party with us because they knew nothing was gonna happen.
You guys weren't grimy and...
No,
you know,
we were all engine nerds and wannabe lawyers. Like,
that's so nice.
I was the black sheep. I was the English major.
Right.
Everyone was like, "What are you gonna do? Teach or serve coffee?" And I wound up serving coffee. So.
And I think you know, you don't. I don't ever hear good things about fraternities either because of the stigma of what you hear so much about. That's why when I would go to frat parties when I was in college, I would make fun of the people and then leave because I'm just like, I don't feel like getting raped tonight, so it's time for me to peace out. But the ones that I would go to were always the stereotypical. Get drunk, beer bomb, blah, 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 yeah, bro, homosexual kind of stuff. And then it just was never a thing to me, and I always felt like rape. Like, in my mind, the word rape would just go off. And that's, I guess, the stigma of what fraternities, you know, are. And you come from one that is actually total opposite.
Yeah. The guys I hung out with, my ex-husband was the president of his fraternity. It was called Delta Tau Delta. They were all good guys.
Yeah, I know some of those guys.
They were really good guys. And really inclusive. They had a gay member, like, way before anything. And they were like, we don't give a fuck. They're like, you're a cool dude. Let's hang out.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even a thing. So, not all fraternities, I guess. It's just groups of people. I mean, you find like-minded people wherever you are, right?
And yeah,
absolutely.
I'm thinking of picking up a new weird hobby. I'm thinking metal detecting. You know?
Wow, that sounds like fun. You're going to find some jewelry and stuff on the beach.
I was on the forums today, and those seem like very interesting people.
Wow.
Yeah,
Fat Man 47 is probably on there. What was the other? Dusty Nuggets?
Duster Nuggets.
This has been the AltaCast here on MutinyRadio.fm. Thanks again, Arden. Everybody can tune into Arden's show on Wednesdays from 10 to midnight called The Night Space. So definitely do that. Thanks again to LaToya, the Sheriff of Truth. We got through it again. We did another one. We went around and around, and we came back to drugs and rape. Yeah. Right on back. And that.
Hello, hello, hello. Microphone check. I'm trying it.
Okay, is it working now?
I think it's working.
Can you hear me?
Is this Henrique?
Yes, it is.
Oh my God.
This is Paul Brown.
You're on the radio, Mr. Henrique.
Oh my God, I heard you talk a lot about me.
You know, I think it's time, you know, that the Mutiny Radio listeners finally got a chance to hear you. I do say a lot about you in the upcoming show, that being funny people, including Will Brown. We're going to get started around 4 o'clock. Henry, do you want to tell us about your day?
My day was very wet, working at the Park Presidio. Doing all these fun projects, you know, trying to make it clean and presentable for all the joggers and walkers.
You know, I personally love all of the San Francisco parks that you help maintain and look beautiful. We were just, where were we last weekend visiting your work?
The windmills. You know, you got to see the calendulas and, what is it? The tulips that I planted.
Yes.
It looks amazing.
It was gorgeous.
Yep, it was fun. It was a fun project. We planted 6,800 tulips in one day.
Wait, you did 200 or how many total?
No, no. In total, we all did, we all planted 6,800.
Personally did like a third of that.
Yeah.
Damn. That's a lot of tulips. How long are they going to be in bloom for?
I don't know. They say that they only last about a week.
A week?
Yep, all that work for just a week.
A week of glory, but I feel like they should last longer than that.
Well, it was my first time working with them, and the thing that sucks about it is that I'm not working in that section anymore, so I don't get to see it every day.
True.
That's the life of an apprentice.
They just put you where they want you for the day, right?
Yeah. It's pretty fun because you get to see other parks. You know, you get like a little taste of every section of Golden Gate Park or any of the PSA ones.
Yeah.
Or the PSAs, I should say.
True. So, apart from gardening, you're also an aspiring, budding stand-up comedian, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
What are your jokes like? Tell us a little bit about it.
My jokes are usually just life stories. I guess people think that my unfortunate circumstances are funny.
Yeah, it's good to, you know, they say that, like, what is it, tragedy plus time equals comedy. You've had some, well, you know, some tragedies. What were some of the things you were talking about on Mutiny, like on the couple Fridays ago and then a couple Mondays ago as well?
Let me see. So I was talking about how one of my tattoos, guys kept confusing it for KFC when it says LFC.
What does LFC stand for?
Liverpool Football Club.
I see.
But I also have like the two birds on each side. So, I guess they thought they were chickens.
Chickens. Come on.
Yeah.
Where did you get this tattoo anyway?
you know, I first thought I was going to get a tattoo like in Hollywood or downtown LA. But my friend ended up taking me to this random house in South Central at this guy Chewy's house garage.
Chewy.
I can't believe I went through with it.
Did. There's proof. Every time you take your shirt off, there it is. I don't think they look like chickens, but okay, the KFC part, maybe. If you're not looking,
I know. So because they think it's KFC and it has something to do with cock, I just tell them that it stands for the fucking cock.
That works. See, especially in the places where you usually have your shirt off, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought so. All right. So, what's the plan for the rest of the day? You've been working your butt off. Well, you have quite a lot of butt. I don't think you've worked all of it off yet. So, you were humping it as a gardener all day long. You barely had time to eat. Now you're off work. What does a budding comedian slash gardener do after hours?
Well, I'm here visiting my puppy. And then after that, I have lots of homework to do. I'm behind 3 weeks, so I need to get that started.
Homework? You better get on that homework, Henry.
Okay.
You better. Say hi to your puppy. Say hi to Josh. Say hi to Sergio.
Hi.
Oh, by the way, can we give Sergio a shout-out for anybody in the Mission listening and that needs a haircut?
Oh,